This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Today on the radio show, Chris Harrington's going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Other than that, it's just me and Jeffrey, but we have a whole lot to talk about. The Chris Harrington segment, well, could be, not gloomy, Jeffrey, but not what I'd like to talk about with Chris Harrington as the Grizzlies get thoroughly thumped by the Oklahoma City Thunder. That was discouraging, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was an outclassing. Didn't it feel like it?
That was a outclassing, and we'll get into that more as the show goes on. Happily, we don't have to dwell on it because there are other things to talk about. Again, we'll talk about it, certainly some this hour, and then again with Chris Harrington. We also had the Memphis Tigers winning yesterday, getting their sweet, sweet revenge, Jeffrey, I guess, against Temple. So that's that was nice for the Tigers.
You win a game without one of your top two players. I get it. They didn't have Mashburn either.
Have their best player. They didn't have Jamal Mashburn. Right, exactly. Listen, the Grizzlies played Oklahoma City, and they were missing three of their best eight players,
yeah,
and they still won. The Thunder did. And so, yes, absolutely. When you are 20-4, 20 wins doesn't mean much anymore. Let's be honest, 20 wins means nothing anymore, right? But it's still a nice round number. They are 20-4, 10-1 in conference. Every single year of Penny's career here at Memphis, he's won 20 games now.
I care less about the 20-game benchmark. Unless you say they've played 24 games, well, then 20 matters to me.
20 wins when you play 24.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're talking about at the end of the season, 20 wins. Like, okay, whatever. But they played 24 games. They won 20 of them.
So we got all that to talk about. And, of course, we got yesterday's extravaganza. The breaking news today, though, Jeffrey, in the broader world, we're at least aware of the broader world here on this show. RIP to the Penny. See this news?
Yeah, I did see. The game was so boring that Trump decided he was going to take it out on the Penny.
Break some news. Yeah. So good for Penny Hardaway, bad for the Penny.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Trump has ordered the Mint to stop printing pennies.
I believe Charles has talked about this, correct?
This, you can be certain that this is a topic that came up on Fish on Friday on Tuesday once or twice before. See, the thing about pennies is they cost to make a penny, not just more than a penny, not just double what a penny's worth, not just three times what a penny is worth, but last year, each penny that was manufactured by the U.S. Mint cost 3.69 cents, close to 4 cents a penny, more than 3.5 cents for a penny. So that's a losing proposition, Jeffrey.
I would agree.
We printed 85.3 million pennies last year. 3 billion pennies last year. I'm sorry. We printed 3 billion pennies last year for a loss, if you do the math, of $85.3 million. So there you go. Now, there's still $250 billion
In circulation.
In circulation, some of them in a large jar that I have in my kitchen.
Yep. Throughout my car somewhere, yeah.
Guess how much how many pennies do you think the average person has according to this story that I read about it today? Like
on them or in their property?
No, not on them. How many each of us each of us have dominion over how many pennies?
I'm going to say like 75.
700, man. 700.
Wow.
You don't have 700.
I do not have that many, I don't think.
Look on your couch.
My daughter
is... You don't even carry them now. Yeah.
So I used to have... What? I used to always have like a... Because I played golf pretty frequently. They're like ball markers.
Right.
So I used to just have them in like a bag. And then when we moved, my daughter found them. And now God knows where they are.
There is a pro penny lobby, of course. Right?
Of course. There always is.
And what they would argue is that, sure, they cost 3.69 cents to produce each penny. But if you don't make any more pennies, the overhead at the mint, right, it'll have to then be carried. Like that includes all the overhead, the energy, the construction, the repair, like all that stuff. And if you then have to spread that out over nickels, dimes, quarters, 50 cent pieces, whatever else we got, that it'll just really increase the cost of other coins. And by the way, it'll also increase the cost of nickels. And guess how much it costs to make a nickel?
10 cents.
13.78 cents to make a nickel. So you may not care when they come for the penny, but they're coming for you next, nickel.
That's where it always starts.
And it's unclear that Trump has the authority to do this. Congress is actually orders people to is in charge of the mint. It's not the Treasury. It's not the Federal Reserve. It's Congress. But anyway, so that's the other news. And there you go. We are at least aware on the show of the other big things happening in the world. I personally won't miss the penny. I find pennies as irritating as everybody else. Super Bowl last night. And I've heard people complain about it from beginning to end, honestly. I've heard complaints about every element.
Okay.
From old people. I've heard old people
from
complain
all,
about halftime.
All across all possible age groups. Yeah, everything. Okay.
I heard no complaints, but that's just because I don't think people were focused on it, about America the Beautiful, which I thought was great.
I thought America the Beautiful was great, and I thought Batiste killed the anthem. I thought that was a fantastic anthem.
I didn't like it.
Oh, my dad and I both loved it.
I mean, I had to go way over, right? Way over.
Oh, yeah,
there were some lines he just repeated and repeated and repeated.
No, if you had the under and you got down to the end, you thought you were doing great, and then he repeats.
Whatever that line was, he repeated it four damn times. I'm like, come on, wrap this up, man. Like, I just thought it was too much. I like him. I thought it was too much.
I thought he was into it, and I was like, oh, he's cooking. I didn't bet on the anthem, though, so that does probably affect how
I didn't hear any complaints on the anthem either, though. Except my own personal internal complaint about the anthem. But I certainly heard old people like me complain about halftime show. It is just so – I'm at least aware enough not to complain about the halftime show. I saw a ranking over at The Athletic that ranked it as the fourth best halftime show ever. It's just very clearly, it's not aimed at people who are – what are we going to say the cutoff, 50? 50 or older.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick, I think is...
You can appreciate it. Some do. I think Chris is old. I don't know how old Chris is. But there are many people 50 and older who might appreciate it. So I heard complaints about that. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it just for the suspense. At that point, there was more suspense in the halftime show than there was in the game. Because would he play not like us? Would he say A minor? Like, right? There was at least, was there any suspense to you? I thought he had to do it.
So, full disclosure, my wife likes Kendrick Lamar way more than I do. And that's, so that was bath bedtime. And I knew she wanted to watch that. And so I said, I was like, I care more about the game, even though at that point, what was there to care about? So I said, I'll handle Josephine while you go watch the halftime show.
People seem to love it, and Serena Williams made an appearance. That was a nice touch. She's got the connection to Compton as well.
Well, and apparently she dated Drake.
I have no credibility in talking about this, but I quite enjoyed it, honestly. And then I certainly enjoyed the pettiness of it all. And then, of course, people complained about the game because it was a rout. It was really almost never competitive. It was a total rout. Now, I would say, Jeffrey, that as routes go, this is about the best rout you can get because you are watching a team that never loses get demolished. In other words, when the Bills lost to the Cowboys or Reds, they were then the Redskins. When they got demolished.
Yeah, or right? Like when the Chargers got whipped by the Niners.
When the Broncos got destroyed by the Redskins too, I think that was, right?
Yeah, whatever. and the Broncos by the Seahawks, you know.
Yeah, that's not fun. Here, there's my own personal pettiness and hatred of the Chiefs. And so I was hearing one of Claire's sons is a modest Chiefs fan, and she said, it's not even fun to watch anymore. I'm like, au contraire. Yes, it is. Every time Patrick Mahomes goes down, it's an absolute sheer delight.
Aaliyah decided to open up that bottle of champagne I'd gotten for the AFC Championship
early?
Game. Nah, she waited until... Because she was still
hammer nail coffin it with her own bottle.
She did her own hammer nail coffin after the strip sack.
After the strip sack,
yeah.
That seems appropriate.
She was still into the third quarter. She was still convinced that this was 28-3, despite the fact that I said, "Sweetie, the Eagles are not going to forget to run the football, and that defense is not what the Falcons defense
doesn't
defense
seem
was.
To be going anywhere. No. The defense doesn't seem to be going anywhere. So." But I do think there is something, and it's even, I think even if you put aside my pettiness, which you're going to need something heavy to pick it up and put it aside, something powerful to be able to pick up my pettiness.
I was going to say, you might need a crane for that.
You need some sort of either crane or some sort of large moving equipment to be able to move my pettiness aside. But even if you put it aside, it is remarkable. It's not remarkable if you saw Brock Purdy look that bad. It's not remarkable if you saw a gimpy Aaron Rodgers look that bad. It's not remarkable. But it is remarkable when you see Patrick Mahomes look that bad. You are seeing something extraordinary on the flip side, right? I mean, this was that to me. Now, I'll be honest. Even me, as deeply powered by pettiness as I am, towards the end, I paid less attention. I'll be honest. I started turning my attention to some other matters that I had to take care of. So I even trailed off. Tim Calkins, my brother, who's the Super Bowl expert, he sent out a get well card tweet to the fourth quarter advertisers.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Oof.
And it'll be interesting to see how the ratings did trail off in the fourth quarter. But I continue to believe that as routes go, doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, I think if you're in the camp that you are just tired of the Chiefs and you thought all year that the Chiefs didn't pass the eye test, which I think that's true. Like, I think until the playoffs, they really had not really passed the eye test. And honestly, their best game of the year was the Bills game. I think that was thoroughly satisfying because that was just an absolute ass kicking. I mean, I think the Chiefs, because it also started off with the pass interference call, which I kind of was okay with, but like I understood if you don't throw that flag, I think that was fine.
The thing about the pass interference call is you very quickly on the Eagles' next drive, you had the
makeup
arguable
call. Yeah.
Makeup call, right?
Yep.
And so
that's how I
even
felt.
For even those of us who love to complain about officiating benefiting the Chiefs, that went away pretty fast. Like they evened that up. I hate to say it, I had nothing to complain about after that. And then it was just an ass kicking.
I mean, basically the Eagles on defense, they gave up a first down on the very first play. And after that it was three and out, three and out. Three and out. The Chiefs ran 20 plays in the first half, and they got one first down.
They, in their first nine drives, Andy Reid calling the plays, head coach, Patrick Mahomes, all-timer as quarterback, in the Super Bowl, nine drives, they did not cross midfield.
I mean, it honestly, to me, it felt exactly like the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl to me.
Where they just overwhelm.
Correct. Just a complete, thorough offense and defense. Like, to me, it's like sometimes football can be really simple. And when one team is so much more dominant on both lines of scrimmage, that's what happens. And we saw it. Because that was the other thing about the Eagles.
They weren't, now in fairness, they weren't dominant. Like, this is the secret thing about the Chiefs. They have, for the last 2 years, kind of been propped up by their defense. And their defensive line was doing a hell of a job themselves. Saquon had to scrap. And, like, I'm like, damn. Like, early on, I'm like, you're not going to run on the Chiefs. Like, you can't run on the Chiefs. We saw that. And so I think in a different game, the Chiefs' defensive line certainly would have held up. But you got a pick six. You got another interception that delivers them to the doorstep.
Yeah,
right?
those for all intents and purposes, those were two pick sixes.
Yeah, basically two pick sixes. And then you got the
if that game goes to the half 10-0, and I thought another key play was, despite falling all the way behind, because I think they were down 24-0, but they got the ball with a minute and a half, and Mahomes throws it a little bit behind Hopkins, but Hopkins was wide open. If they could have somehow scored there and then scored coming out of the half, I was like, okay, maybe. But it was so clear, you know, when they make the drop and then that next drive basically went nowhere. It's like, okay, this is done.
I don't know what your favorite stat was. I thought the Mahomes 11.4 QBR, the second-rate lowest in Super Bowl history. That was a good one. I think the six sacks on zero blitzes.
Yeah, to me, it was the number of pressures they got without blitzing.
Without blitzing once.
And by the way, it wasn't like the Chiefs were able to run the ball either. I mean, it was like not only were they getting pressure. I mean, I think they had like 1 yard of carry.
It's funny, the Chiefs' offensive line obviously banged up. They had certain problems at tackle all year long, right?
Yeah, they had to move Tooney from guard to tackle. He had no chance. The interior of their offensive line had absolutely no chance.
They had literally two of the best offensive linemen in football.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and normally you would think that would be a pretty good starting point. Deion Dawkins last week said there should be a award for the offensive lineman of the year, right? And so I read a piece, but if you were to have an offensive lineman of the year, who would it be, right? And they nominated, this piece mentioned 10 different people. Two of them were Chiefs. But they just obviously weren't able to overcome it or even come close to overcoming it. And so Jalen Hurts is the MVP. But let's be honest, they should have given it to the defensive line.
Yeah,
Hurts. Hurts was really good, too.
Correct. Hurts made one mistake all game. He got pressured.
It wasn't that bad a mistake.
No, I mean, because in the end, the other story to me was the Chiefs never, like, when it was still competitive, they were always in very poor field position. They were unable to, like, hit an easy button just to kind of get the ball out and get it rolling. And, like, the game was just 100% to Philly's liking because they were dominating.
So it is interesting. In my immense pettiness, and again, I don't think you have to hate the Chiefs to have enjoyed that game just from the spectacle of seeing an all-time great team dismantled. You don't see that all the time, right? It's just holy smokes. You know, this is the – I don't think it's the end of anything, but like we're not used to this. But then if you hate them, and most of America does at this point, not as much as I do, but most of America is sick of them, it's extra sweet. I'll say this, though, from a Bills perspective, didn't make you feel real good, if you want to know the truth, for two reasons. The Eagles were able to do that to them defensively, and the Bills were utterly at the Chiefs' mercy.
Like, all I told Aaliyah was this. Just
holy crap.
I think all that did was raise the price of Myles Garrett.
100%. Myles Garrett's watching that and is, yeah. And then the other thing, if you're saying what is one of the things that the Chiefs can look at out of that game and have something to feel good about, it's Xavier Worthy, who is fast. Newsflash, is fast and who they drafted with the Bills' first-round draft pick because the Bills preferred Keon Coleman. It's just wanted to trade down and got Keon Coleman. And it was just stupid. That's my little Bills perspective on this. It doesn't actually make you – it was fun to watch them lose in the dramatic fashion that they did, but it didn't make me feel 100% fabulous. Okay, from both perspectives, first we have from the Eagles' perspective – a coach and a quarterback who have been roundly criticized, including by you, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. One of them's got, they both got Super Bowls. One of them's got an MVP. And I have to think, I don't know who had a better comeback story this year, Ryan Day or Nick Sirianni, also up for a new contract, but it's close. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I to me, it's like, both of them are maybe exactly what the Eagles need. Like, when you think about it with Sirianni, all of the antics and whatnot, maybe that distracts everybody from, you know, at times, you know, issues with A.J. Brown and with Jalen Hurts. And then with Hurts, like, as long as they are in that type of game where he's able to just eat the clock, and he killed them with his legs, and then he hits the kill shot to Devontae Smith. Great throw. But he only asked him to throw 22 times. Like, if you're asking him to do that and to just kind of keep it rolling, like, maybe he is, like, exactly what they need, because he is, like, their own version of able to just kind of, like, it felt like the Chiefs just never had the ball because the Eagles were just killing the clock.
Well, what's interesting is, listen, full marks. He's played in two Super Bowls, and he's been great in both of them, right? Like that's – he's got a Super Bowl. Lamar doesn't. Josh doesn't. Joe Burrow doesn't win a Super Bowl win. No one would take him over those guys. You know, like, it's interesting. And this is not – again, this is not to discredit them the morning after. He was excellent. He was excellent. And I never would have imagined as a college quarterback – that he would have been able to do that. Like, that was a hell of a performance. It feels like they won because of their roster.
Yes.
Right?
And that's kind of like that was what I said last night on Twitter. If you go back and you look at the most recent champions, so if you start with, let's start with UConn basketball, and then South Carolina women's basketball, then you go to the Celtics, then the Dodgers, Ohio State, and now Philly. It's like the lesson learned is maybe we're out of, like, the you have to have the best player, but you have to have the best team. And those, like, I think all those teams are the hallmark of those teams is maybe they didn't have the quote unquote best player in the series, but they were clearly the best teams.
Well, and then you look at one of the interesting things is, like, the Eagles have been up and down, right? And they've also made shrewd picks and whatever else. But all of that has enabled them to, when the Chiefs have been drafting at the end of the first round every year, right? And the Bills have been drafting at the end of the first round every year. You know, you look at the Eagles, 2021, pick 10, Devonta Smith. 2022, pick 13, Jordan Davis. 2023, pick 9, Jalen Carter, right? And then they also look at who they add. They had A.J. Brown as a free agent. They had Saquon as a free agent. And this year, when they were picking towards the end of the first round, who do they get? Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, both, like, first and second round picks. They're
DeJean.
Just crushing it. This is a – DeJean. This is a – it is a – it is a Howie Roseman extravaganza. That's what it is. I mean, it feels like they won – and it's too bad, because to say that, does it discount the quarterback and discount the head coach? But it feels like they won because of their roster.
Yes. And I think that's kind of
always awesome roster.
That's always, like, the struggle that I have, where it's like, do I think Jalen Hurts works on all 32 teams? No, but guess what? That's not what his job is. His job is to work for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. And it also elevates a little bit in my mind, like, if we were doing a draft, who I'd take him over. You know what I mean? I wouldn't take him in the first five quarterbacks in the league, but I might take him in the next five.
I think it's like a legitimate question. Would you take him over Herbert? I do. I value winning.
Right. So once you get past
the four that we've mentioned, and then we have a new entry
in Jaden Daniels, right?
Like, right. You know. But I'm still the same spot with Jaden that I was last year with Stroud. Whereas, like, let me see you do it again. And if he comes out and he does it again, I'm willing to accept it. But like,
you'd take him over Jalen Hurts, though, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think I would.
Yeah. So would I. Yeah. You know. So that's five. So you don't take him in the first five, but you'd probably take him in the next five. And you know, yeah. Okay, and then it goes to the Chiefs, and I don't for a moment think it's over. I think it's really hard. I think it's hard to even get to the Super Bowl. In this era,
no one has even been in the position that they were in.
Right.
To win,
and it's
the
harder
third.
Because the NFL doesn't make it easy on you.
100%.
You know who the Chiefs are playing next year? The Bills. You know, in the regular season. Like, you got the first place schedule. And
well, I was watching a show with Sean Payton, and he said something that I didn't really think about, but I was like, it makes total sense. It's like, who are you rooting for? He's in their division. He goes, I'm rooting for the Chiefs because if they win, then they have to pay everybody more.
That too. You have to pay everybody more. And that's why, weirdly enough, like, I don't know where the Niners are picking this year, but sometimes to have a year in between, as the Eagles have had, where they've actually had some struggles, you know, and if it goes bad, it's not bad if it goes really bad, you know, so you end up picking ninth as opposed to 26th. It just makes it, it does, it makes a difference. You get monsters. Now, mind you, you know, they picked up Sweat is a fourth round pick from 2018.
He was awesome last night, too.
He was unbelievable. And so, yeah, it's just they did a hell of a job of drafting free agents, everything.
The Niners pick 11th this year.
And that helps. That will, like, a bad year. You wouldn't want that year that you just had as a Niners fan. But it absolutely helps. So anyway, it was, you know, I think. And the truth of the matter is that next year you're going to have Worthy back and better, right? And
I'm still not convinced he's more than a gimmick.
Yeah, but you also have Rashee Rice back. I mean, he's not a gimmick.
That's true.
You have Rashee Rice back. Like, that's right off the top of my head. What they, you know, whatever. So, but they, you know, you're not allowed to keep Tyreek Hill. You got to make choices.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, the Eagles will have to make choices. I don't know what their cap position is this year, but you have to make choices. And so there you go. Shout out to three Memphis Tigers: Jake Elliott, Kenny Gainwell, Bryce Huff. I think those are the three, right? Eagles,
yep.
Who are now Super Bowl champions. Good for them for being Super Bowl champions. It is sort of sad that another NFL season has come to a close, but we can all look forward to the combine, Jeffrey.
Yes, of course. Some of us more than others.
Anything else you felt? Again, we'll talk more about the commercials and whatnot. Tim's prediction Friday was that we would say on Monday that they just weren't very good this year. And I think particularly this time, I can say they just weren't very good this year. There's some I like better than others. Anything else on the day yesterday?
I thought the best team won. And so, like, in sports, that's kind of what you want to see. And, like, yeah, they started out 2-2, but really since October 1st, that's been probably the best team in the NFL. And I thought that was the case. I think the other thing that's interesting is, do we knock the Chiefs? Because when you look at it this way, when the Patriots' first five Super Bowls, they went 3-2. The Chiefs are now 3-2, but the Patriots, their two Super Bowl losses are by 3 and 4 points combined, or 3 and 4 points each. Do we knock the Chiefs that when they get beat, man, do they get beat? Like, they're not even close. The Tampa Bay game wasn't close. This one wasn't close.
Well, I think everything goes into the hopper, right? It all goes into the hopper. I think you remember the humiliations a little bit, but this is such a, it's such a fine line. I mean, you know, it's what they have done is extraordinary. So sure, I guess they look a little more, you know, less extraordinary because of the way they've been absolutely demolished when they've gotten demolished. And if you were a Pats fan, that was a great day yesterday. If you were like, not just a Pats fan, a Pats fan invested, really invested in maintaining the superiority of your franchise and of your quarterback, right? If you were invested in those things, I think yesterday was a good day for you. Don't you see? Look at that. You know?
I think it was a good day for you if you weren't watching the broadcast and didn't see when they would go to the broadcast booth. Because when they would show Tom Brady, Jeff, I think he got some work done in between NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. The two furthest points on his face are his cheeks. Like, his cheeks go outside of his head.
He is unbelievably chiseled. Let's just say that. He is unbelievably
sculpted.
He is unbelievably sculpted. I did ask, because Tom Cruise did that whole
intro
thing. I kind of resent a little bit, you know, whatever. I kind of resent that everything is a freaking tie-in, you know.
Yeah, an activation.
So this became a Mission Impossible to get your three-peat. By the way, Chiefs last week, I had to negotiate with Pat Riley.
Yep.
Because he has
the trademark
rights to three-peat. And so I don't blame him for doing it. I don't think that's why they lost. I don't think it jinxed them. I think it was the Eagles defensive line is why they lost, but that happened too. But who hasn't aged or has aged in reverse more dramatically? Tom Brady or Tom Cruise?
I think Brady. You're right that when you see Cruise, it is kind of like your mind can't trick yourself. You're like, that doesn't look right. But Brady's is way more jarring. Because Brady's is like, there are like veins and stuff. There's like angles in his face. And you're just like, that's not how human beings look.
I think that's true. What did you think? I didn't think he was. I know people like to pummel him. And sure, he says some obvious things. And I don't know if there was anything he said that was particularly insightful. Nothing stood out. But I didn't think he was bad. I don't necessarily like that he always called him Patrick. Patrick, every single time. Patrick, Patrick, Patrick. I don't even use the word Mahomes. I noted it when he did because it was actually pretty extraordinary. What'd you think of him?
I think Romo does that too, correct? Because I'm pretty sure Romo goes Josh.
I guess
and,
if you're part of the club, you can just call him.
How many ways can you sit there and go, they can't block them? Like, what was he supposed to say? Like,
right, what was he supposed to say? Like, get it out of your hand quick, right?
You know, I mean, they tried to go quick.
I like that he weighed in on the officiating early, and he just, in the end, he was pretty consistent on all this stuff, right? Then there was the late hit on Saquon. He didn't like that one either.
Yeah.
Like, he does not like, he wants the officials to keep the flags in their pockets, you know?
And I think most people do. I mean,
and I think most people do. I think most people do. Yeah, 100%. I would have been happy if they had not called either of those first two flags, right?
And not called the Saquon one, I would have been fine.
And the Saquon one either. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, it is a Valentine's week. Yes, it's here. Even those of you who like to procrastinate, now is the time to pay attention. And now is the time to get to Robert Irwin Jewelers, where they have one-stop shopping. It's an unbelievably great deal that Howie does every year. You get a free box of chocolates, three dozen roses, get a voucher to pick up the roses so they're fresh and beautiful, present to your beloved. All you have to do is spend $99 or more. And I was in there recently with Claire. We bought diamond earrings, and the stuff is just beautiful. And there's honestly, it's yes, you can spend thousands of dollars if you like, and you will still get the box of chocolates and the roses, and you can get something stunning. Or you can get something stunning that costs you $129 or $99. Like, the stuff is absolutely beautiful. The Love You to the Moon and Back pendant is really super sweet. Get in there and see what they have for your beloved. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got five convenient locations. I go to the one right across from Novel on Perkins Extended. Find the one closest to you. Or shop online at rijewelers.com. All right. We'll have more on the Super Bowl ads, et cetera, else, the whole thing, in the second hour. We're going to come back and talk about the Grizzlies and the Tigers. And then Chris Harrington will join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Busy Monday. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. The nice thing, Jeffrey, about Super Bowl Sunday falling when it did is it abbreviated the amount of time we would spend talking about the Memphis Grizzlies, who decided at the trade deadline to do not much of anything, move on from Marcus Smart. I thought Zach Kleiman, by the way, because this happened after our show on Friday.
Yeah.
I thought his press conference, he said he didn't try to win the press conference. I thought he was really good, honestly. Like, it wasn't, again, it doesn't change what did or they weren't able to accomplish. But I just thought it seemed candid to me, honestly. You know, he talked about why they did what they did. He talked about, you know, whether it's a struggle to get players to come to Memphis. He at least addressed that, thought about it. Said one of the problems is that, well, whatever. I'm not going to go into it. So I thought that was great. and Chris wrote the column last week, you know, this is my team. Our team is on the floor. Like, this is it. This is what we got. Okay, guys. And then you look forward to this game against Oklahoma City. And to be fair, you've got 2 days rest. You got everyone available, essentially. Everyone who's going to be in your playoff rotation, certainly available. You're playing at home. And you are trying to avenge the last time that you played Oklahoma City when you lost by 24. Oklahoma City, by contrast, was missing three of its top eight players. Holmgren was out, Dort was out, Wallace was out. And was they're on the road, and it's the second night of a back-to-back, and they beat the hell out of them. It was 125-112, but let's be honest, it wasn't even that close. It was 17 points at the half. It got to 28 points in the second half. It was just kind of, you go there expecting, this is it, man. This is our team. We're showing confidence in this group. And what you saw was the Grizzlies may be a very good team. They are a very good team. They're second in the West. They are now actually, their closest pursuer is Denver.
Yeah.
They're in a game and a half up on Denver. They're 2.5 up on Houston. Houston had lost 6 in a row, finally got a win over Toronto. They're 3 up on the Lakers. Like, they're a very good team. And they've had a very good year. But there seems to be a clear separation between the Grizzlies and the Thunder. It was emphatic. It was hard to deny that, watching that unfold over the weekend. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I felt the same way, because I didn't feel like it was just, oh, OKC came out, they shot the lights out, the Grizzlies couldn't keep up with that.
Grizzlies shot better.
Yeah.
And had more free throws.
Like, to me, it was just kind of, you just said, I don't know, watching the game, I felt like these two teams are not the same. And I understand it's a one game, and we've only seen one other game, and they were shorthanded and whatnot, but to me, my takeaway is, like, we head into All-Star week, whatnot, is the Grizzlies have a long way to go to catch up to the Thunder.
Yeah, no, the ungenerous way to put this, and I think it's excessively so, is that the Grizzlies are fake good, right? And I don't think that's true. They are good. They're not fake good. I mean, you could say that because you look what's happened when they played the Knicks. You look what happened, you know, when they played the Thunder now twice, just get demolished, right? I don't think it's fair to call them fake good, because, you know, look what they do against the Spurs. Look what they do against the Timberwolves. They beat the Rockets most recently. They beat the Bucks. You know, they're like, they've beaten the Celtics. They've won a whole bunch of games. They're second in the West. They're fourth overall. They are not fake good. They are good. But they are not elite. You know, they are not elite in this league this year. It doesn't appear. And I would, the other thing, like, well, I get to some reasons for hope here in a moment. I think there's some things that you might worry about as you measure yourself against these elite teams, right? One, and we've pointed to this all year long, you're starting two rookies.
Yep.
And those rookies in the second half became unplayable.
Yes.
Like, he just pulled them off and said, yeah, this ain't working. You know, putting Jalen Wells on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, you're not, it's like, it's not. That would have seemed crazy on draft night. It's less crazy now, but, like, it's not a surprise that it didn't go particularly well, right? A rookie shouldn't be able to, any rookie shouldn't be able to handle Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And but
I mean, there are plenty of veterans that are not handling Shai.
Yeah, SGA, yeah, 100%. Like, so you got two rookies, and the problem is that that's the kind of player you play in the playoffs. And that's the kind of pressure you face in the playoffs. So you got Jalen Wells and Zach Edey. They're both basically pulled in the third. They did not reappear. And they're rolling with Brandon Clark and Santi Aldama instead. And so, like, that's tough. And it's particularly tough. Like, with Jalen Wells, we'll get to Vince here in a minute, because he's one of the reasons for hope.
Right.
But with Zach Edey, you know, the problem is this was, like, your answer in the offseason. And again, I'm not even saying there's something that they didn't could have done that they didn't do. Like, I think they tried to do everything they could. So I'm not, like, faulting them for that. But what's the single stat or the two stats in this game that just are eye-popping, that stand out to you? it's giving up 21 offensive rebounds and 32 second chance points, right?
Yeah, and then the turnovers and the points off turnovers.
Yeah, so and so that's a, like, if you're rolling with Jalen Wells and Zach Edey, and can you be an elite playoff team? Elite. With those guys as starters? Like, there'd be a lot of growth. Got to be a lot of growth, Jeffrey, between now and the playoffs. So that's one issue. Second issue is this. And again, the one we've talked about. The Grizzlies like to play 10 guys, right?
Yep.
But they didn't. Like, they played their big guys heavy minutes this you know, in this game. But, like, it just does that work in the playoffs? Like, does what they do work in the playoffs, you know, against, I mean, the other truth of the matter is they couldn't even get into their offense in this game because the Oklahoma City, like, those guys, they can all guard. Like, they all can guard. But, like, does Scottie Pippen really work on this, like, you know, in this environment? Really? You know? It's hard for Luke Kennard to get three-point shots off. Like, it's you just see.
There's a physical limitation.
You see, yeah. And as you go deeper, you're relying on those guys more. That's how you've won regular season games. And then the other issue, and again, this is just like, I'm not saying woe is me, I'm not crisis, whatever else. I think it's a little bracing if you imagined yourself to be elite. Here's the truth. Before this season began, if you had told me that the Grizzlies would be second in the West ahead of Denver, ahead of the Lakers, ahead of Minnesota, ahead of the Clippers, ahead of Houston, holy Golden State, I would have signed up for it. Like, this has been a successful season.
Yeah.
Kind of remarkably. But then, sadly, what happens is you embark on this successful season, and you say, okay, what's next, right? And what's next is and when you look at that, you think, I don't know. But so the other issue is, like, once upon a time, if you were ranking up-and-coming guards in this league, you would have ranked Ja ahead of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Probably
there,
so,
there
yeah.
Was a moment. Well, Nike did, you know. And right now, again, Ja has his injury issues, and I think critically, Ja doesn't have off seasons, you know.
Yeah.
To work on his and so Ja 6-19 from the field, you know, and the pick and rolls that you have with Ja and Zach Edey, great idea. More pick and rolls, whatever else. Neither one of them can shoot. They just sit back. They just sit back and say, "Yeah, that's fine." You know,
honestly, the thing that I've been the most disappointed in Edey is I thought offensively he would be more advanced than this. I think he's been a little bit better.
I did too. The thought was that okay, he may be a little sluggish on defense. Yeah. But he will make you pay. He will make you pay. And he has. Again, we're asking, this is all in the context of a successful season and successful rookie years by these two guys, really, particularly by Jalen Wells. So I think all those things are at least worrisome. Now, the good news is Vince Williams Jr. played 15 minutes. He only had one basket. He had much free throws. He had scored 7 points. He was plus 10. When he was out there, and obviously he would have played more minutes. Like, when they made their run in the second half, Vince Williams was on the floor.
Yeah.
And then they took him out because he's very clearly on a minutes restriction, as he should be.
Right.
Like, I don't have any problem with that. If anyone's griping about that. And so you just feel like in a game like this, you know, when you can have Vince Williams playing 34 minutes in the playoffs against the Thunder, that will help. Because he has limited to 15 minutes on this game, and that he's the guy you need in this game. Of course, then inevitably people will ask, well, couldn't have used Marcus Smart in this game, right? Like, that's the other part of this. This comes in the immediately after a trade deadline where they said to Marcus Smart about Marcus Smart, yeah, we don't need him.
Right.
Right? Well, we don't need him so much that we're going to attach a first round pick to get him out of here.
Right.
I don't second guess that. Maybe some of you do, and I guess it's fair too. I think they really, and I go, they know much more about the Marcus Smart experience than we do, right?
Correct.
What it's been like having him around. What's it like? Whatever. And they see him. We don't ever see him. We haven't seen him play except that one time against Toronto. So we don't really know much about what he's like as a basketball player now. And we don't know much about the vibes around him.
Right.
If he wasn't, you know, whatever else. And so they made the decision that he could not help them. And I respect that. I will not. Now, if he goes and just starts lighting it and whatever, is he lighting it up for the Wizards in meaningless games? Like, who knows? But I don't think I'm going to. I guess if we see a rejuvenated Marcus Smart making a difference on a playoff team next year, I'll wonder why the Grizzlies couldn't have gotten that out of Marcus Smart. Don't you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think that's the case that you have to see. You have to see him, because even if he goes and he has like good numbers for the Wizards, I don't care.
Right, but if sometime again we see a junkyard dog, Marcus Smart being terrific, then I might wonder why the Grizzlies couldn't get that out of him. Right now, I'm not inclined to criticize the decision to move on. Although I think it will be a knee-jerk reaction from some, right? You see what happened.
Well, especially Saturday night when it's like they couldn't.
And you say, what? We couldn't use Marcus Smart?
Right.
You know? You got to take Jalen Wolves off the court and you can't use Marcus Smart. So anyway, it was bracing. And again, they've had a terrific year. But it's a little bit of a little cold water. There's no other way to put it. There's a little cold water. Plus, we had T getting escorted off the court as the official said that. I'll go to the pool report here. I don't have it in front of me. Consistent derogatory language towards the officials is why he was escorted, and so that's a kind of a little bit of an unpleasant interlude in a bad night anyway, right?
Yeah, I felt. When you saw the video, I just felt bad for the person that had to escort him out. Like, you could just see the look on his face, like, I don't want to have to do this, but I have to do this.
Now, here's the quote. The fan. The official evidently did know it was T, did not just think it was a fan. The fan continued to repeat overly disrespectful statements about the integrity of the officiating crew. As the crew chief, I approached security and ask that he be removed. Was there something specific? This is according to the pool report. It was Drew, I think, who was doing the pool report on this one. There were very specific, overtly disrespectful comments made about the integrity of the crew. So that was too bad. Brighter note, Tigers win. Mm-hmm. Tigers win. Tigers win. No Tyrese Hunter. That was stunning news because literally on the pregame show, Penny said he was going to play, and then he did not play. And we'll obviously hope that this is not, you know, going to be a problem going forward. Of course, that's what we would hope. No Jamal Mashburn for Temple. Tigers win 92-82. They shot. I like this stat. This is from this is from Memphis PR. It is the 11th time they shot over 50% this season. In those games, if Penny Hardaway's team shoots better than 50%, they are 61-3 and 40-0 at home. So there you go. Dane Danger really good again, 18-8 since he's been reintroduced to the starting lineup. Those five games, he's averaged 17 points a game. Dante Harris obviously got the start instead of Tyrese Hunter. They were balky on offense. You know, they had first half, 11 turnovers in the first half. And then they had two after that. So they obviously cleaned things up. And that's either – some of this is the getting serious stuff, right? I mean, it's that again a little bit. But they did what they had to do, and you know, I don't know what else you can ask.
No, I'm with you. The only thing I'm starting to get a little annoyed by, and it has nothing to do with them, it's just kind of the reality of where they are. It's like the Thursday-Sunday – television schedule, it's like, ugh. It just feels like you're playing like on a different college basketball platform. Like it's
schedule than everybody.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
I mean, it does. I think there's a case.
I certainly don't mind the Thursday one, the Sunday one.
It's just, yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you just, I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's not, you're not supposed to be playing on Sundays. You're supposed to be playing on Saturdays.
And it's like the 1 p.m.
College
basketball and,
games are supposed to be on Saturdays. I think that's right.
But, like, that's not their fault. Like, I'm not blaming them. Like, that's,
no, not at all.
That's, it's kind of the bifurcation of college basketball.
It's where we've gotten to. They, again, it was tied at the half. Listen, I never really thought they were going to lose this game. They were tied at the half. And then Temple made a run to get down to six, I think, towards the end. From the 18-17 mark of the second half to the 4:33 mark, they made 16 of 19 shots. There was one little burst in there where they made eight straight and another little burst in there where they made six straight. On top of a defense that forces 16 turnovers with 10 steals, five blocks, five guys in double figures, it was – I think even better than a workmanlike performance, particularly when you figure in that there's no Tyrese Hunter. And again, it's 20 wins for the Memphis Tigers this year. As Jeffrey said, you may not be impressed by 20 wins necessarily much anymore, but when those 20 wins come in 24 games, you should be impressed.
Yes.
They continue to have absolutely the season that we would have hoped for. All right, we got Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies coming up next. Then we'll return to the Super Bowl and other NFL news, too. There's been other NFL news over the weekend. We got Chris first. And I will remind you, if you're selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, folks to call. Call them today at 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. See it all the time right now. You see these for sale signs sitting out there in someone's yard, and they're there, and they're there, and they're there, and they're there, and they're there. And the truth of the matter is, when that happens, sure, it can be some of it may be the market. Some of it may be they may not have the right realtor. So if you have a friend who's in that situation, have them call Josh Heisa. Again, phone number is 901-461-8147. More than 300 five-star reviews over at Google. Just look it up for yourself. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time. It's Josh Heisa, 901-461-8147. When we return, Chris Harrington joins the show. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What is DaxRU?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.